Hey, very good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV, filling in today for Earl Robinson. We invite you to join us on today's program, and you can do that in a couple of different ways. First of all, you can call us on the telephone. If you're in the 517 area code, you can reach us at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or you can also reach us toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. We also have the email up and running today, and that email address is sportstalk, all one word, at WKAR.org. Ben McCann, producer extraordinaire, is on the other side of the glass. We want to say good afternoon to him as well.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, thank you. How was your turkey day?
Busy.
Busy.
Busy, yeah. Yes.
Did you belly up, pop
nope.
a few buttons? You were.
I was running with the daughter and the wife to try and figure out why my daughter had 102 temperature.
Oh.
Yeah. So I ate as quick as I could shovel, and then we were out. And I know that'd be a surprise to some people, but a couple shovelfuls, and then we were off and running. So nonstop weekend for me. No rest, no relaxation.
No, well, we had you working a little bit at the TV station as well. You went down and shot one of the high school football games down at Ford Field as well. What was that experience like?
Personally, it was awesome. It was fun to be there on the field, and usually most of the time I'm a spectator going down for the games, but it was fun to just be on the Fowler sideline and listen to him a little bit and be filming the game and whatnot. But speaking of the high school games, I think my biggest surprise of the weekend was Cass Tech over Detroit Catholic Central. That was a huge Cass Tech winning that game with a true freshman, took him all the way to Ford Field and beat a state powerhouse in Detroit Catholic Central. So
well, Cass Tech was a pretty good a feel good story, a team that was, you know, a fumble away late in the game from making the state finals last year.
Right.
And they were able to come back and get back there. Not only get back to the finals, but win it all. So one of the feel-good stories of the weekend. What surprised me in whole was that of the eight games, the closest game, the margin of difference was 10 points.
Yeah.
And on average, the average margin of victory was over 30 points a game. There were seven complete stone blowouts and one that was a 10-point game, which, you know, really wasn't in doubt late in the game. So for me, it was, you know, the football, you know, congratulations again to the eight winners, but the football wasn't all that great. I mean, as far as the games were concerned, you just saw a ton of mismatches, and, you know, that's something you don't normally see. I mean, you see a few usually, but not seven of eight where they're just complete stone mismatches.
Well, I remember going into the last game Saturday night, I was in a different studio working the hockey game in Orchard Lake St. Mary and Mount Pleasant. We're getting ready to go, and I'm like thinking in my head, I'm like, come on, can we get one good game out of eight, please? And then, like, Orchard Lake goes up 17-7 or something in the first quarter. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go again. So, I mean, yeah, they're all supposed to be great games. The one game was a 10-point decision, but Ithaca goes back-to-back and, you know, two state championships in a row. But kind of disappointing, but, you know, you get into one of them games where they're running the wing T formation where they just run, and you get two teams that go up against each other like that. Those games are, I think, sometimes boring. But, you know, that was kind of what I saw from Fowler. Yeah, they have some pass plays, but they got down, you know, 14 points, and you got to kind of open it up a little bit. You got to throw your game plan out the window, and I know the run game is what got you there, but you're playing one of the best teams in your division, and you kind of need to open it up just a little bit. But that's why I'm sitting here not coaching on the sidelines.
Well, and I know the Cougars of Lansing Catholic are very disappointed this morning that they were not able to complete the perfect season, and and they got whipped by Flint Powers, you know, by 30. Ironically, it was the same score that Pelham Westphalia lost by, you know, 56-26. And a disappointing end for the Cougars, who had such a great season. And as head coach Jim Ahern told us afterwards, you know, look, we just played our worst game of the year. And you know, I think you could point to a couple different reasons for that. You know, a lot of the kids there had a retreat that they had to go to for the first couple days of the week, and they were gone from practice, although, you know, Flint Powers had the same thing, so you can't really say that that was one advantage for a team over another. And to be honest, you know, Lansing Catholic knew that going into their game against Grand Rapids West Catholic in the semis, that that game, you know, was more than likely for the state championship. And, you know, I think it would, you'd be hard-pressed to get any of the coaches or kids to say this, but there may have been a little bit of a letdown. You win that semifinal game, you're facing a team you've already beaten by 20 points early in the year, and you think, you know, we just won the state title. You know, we already whipped this team earlier in the year. We just beat who we thought was going to be our toughest competition. Now all we got to do is go walk in and play, and it doesn't work that way. And I think they may have learned a little bit of a lesson as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, I can agree with what you're saying there. I think a big thing that I saw in the game, and it's I'm seeing this at all levels, NFL, college, high school, is just the poor tackling.
Yeah, there was it's just a lot of that, wasn't there?
Every, I mean, even college, watching college games, I watched a couple games on Saturday and Sunday, got to see the Sunday night game last night, and it's like, no one knows how to tackle anymore. Any level. And, you know, and I'm not trying to be very harsh on Lansing Catholic, but there's a couple plays, three or four guys touch the ball carrier and just can't bring them down. You're going for the ball more nowadays than you are trying to make the tackle. You know, and turnovers are huge. Yeah, you should go for the ball. But, man, you got to make that third and two, and you have three chances to bring them down, and you don't. You know, poor tackling, I think, is starting to become somewhat of a factor on all levels of football.
All right, a couple of quick notes from things that are going on in the sports world today before we dive into Michigan State football, which we will be heavy on Michigan State football and basketball here for the rest of today's show. We'll also talk a little Spartan hockey as well. And again, you can join us at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. The Carolina Hurricanes have fired their head coach, Paul Maurice, and he was leading that team who got off to a very tough start. They dropped to 8-13-4 after last night's loss to Ottawa. They lost 10 of their last 13 games, and they are in 14th place in the Eastern Conference. He's not the only NHL head coach to be let go. Today, the Washington Capitals fired Bruce Boudreau and replaced him with former captain Dale Hunter. And Boudreau had just last week reached 200 wins, faster than any coach in modern NHL history. But lately, the Caps have been struggling, losing six of their last eight. They're in eighth place in the Eastern Conference. And he was having the biggest problem was he was and Alex Ovechkin were not actually seeing eye to eye. So he lasted about 4 years, and he was let go after he went 201-88-40. Dale Hunter is 51 years old. He played 19 seasons in the NHL, and he is one of four players to have his number retired by the Caps. He will make his coaching debut for Washington Tuesday when they face St. Louis. The AP men's basketball top 25 poll is out this afternoon, and we have a new number one after North Carolina got beat by UNLV in the championship game of the Las Vegas Invitational. The Kentucky Wildcats at 6-0 are number one in the country. Ohio State, who is unbeaten at 6-0, moved up to second. Duke went up to third. And then you've got Syracuse, North Carolina, Louisville, Baylor, Connecticut, Wisconsin, and Florida rounding out the top 10. So you've got two Big Ten teams in men's basketball in the AP top 10. The other really big news out of sports today is the hiring of a new head coach at Ohio State for football. Urban Meyer, probably the worst kept secret in America, I would guess, Ben. Yeah. Especially after over the weekend that ESPN announced that he had declined
going to work
to do his game over the weekend, that he had asked to take that weekend off for personal reasons. And you know, you have to feel sorry for Luke Fickell. He was in probably an impossible situation.
Yeah, everybody called that going into the season, though, is, you know, this guy's got to go undefeated, go to the national championship game, win the national championship game, and then maybe you have a chance of keeping your job. I mean, that was the only scenario for Luke Fickell, was to do everything, you know, a first-year coach under the criticism and the off-season stuff. That would have been the only way he could have saved his job, was to get a national title.
Well, and that probably wasn't going to happen when you're breaking, you know, not sure who your quarterback is. Finally, he decided to go with Braxton Miller after a couple games. I think that was really the smart move, as, you know, as the program moves forward. You know, Miller really showed that he can be a very good quarterback in the Big Ten, and really acquitted himself very well. To me, you know, Urban Meyer will do very well. We all know he's an Ohio native. He coached at Bowling Green for a while before he went to Florida, and he will recruit the state of Ohio. And really, you know, for me, it rejuvenates the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry a little bit more. I mean, it had been so one-sided for Ohio State, having won 7 straight years, and then Michigan, of course, gets the win on Saturday to break that streak. And they didn't blow Ohio State out. I think that, you know, going into that game, I saw that as an opportunity in the Big House for Michigan to really kind of take it to them. And Ohio State had the ball late in the game, and a touchdown wins it for them, and they just weren't able to make a play. Eventually, Miller got a ball picked off near midfield. But this is really going to heat up this rivalry even more. I mean, it's taken a hit, let's face it, over the last 7 years when Ohio, you know, you want to go back to when they were 1-2 in 96. I mean, that was kind of the peak of where this rivalry has been, and it had been, I guess, I would call it the top rivalry. Auburn-Alabama has maybe surpassed it a little bit right now in the way that rivalry has really kind of gotten taken up another notch, with the teams, you know, both being in national prominence and winning national titles here over the last couple of years. That rivalry has really kind of stepped up a little bit. This is going to take it up, I think, to another notch. And, you know, let's face it, he's going to come right in, and he's going to have Ohio State back in the mix in the Big Ten and have them ready to go again next year and challenging, I think, for that Big Ten championship.
Yeah, and I think two things coming out of this is you can put the D'Antonio to Ohio State rumors to bed.
Well, yeah, I that was never going to happen.
Right.
I mean, sure, it's got to be talked about, I guess, a little bit, but very rarely. And you know, Mark aside, Mark would never do that, but very rarely do you see a coach jump from program to program in the same conference.
Right.
I mean, you know, Steve Spurrier went to the NFL and came back and was with a different, but rarely do you see that happen, you know, right away.
I think it'd take a bunch of commas and a bunch of zeros to get that. And then
right,
when I
yeah,
say bunch, I
never
mean,
say never, but
right.
Yes.
And something that I noticed late Saturday night was when you beat a team that's 1 or 2 in the country, you get to rush the field and the floor, right? Isn't that kind of top 5, top 10?
It's what the kids do. I mean,
right.
It's right or wrong, but yes, that's what happened.
I seen that the majority of the Michigan fans rushed the field Saturday after the game. I understand it's a rivalry game, but yeah, it'd been 3,000 days or so since you beat them, but I thought that was saved for big time. Beating number 1 or number 2 in the nation.
Well, when you haven't beaten your rival in 7 years, that, you know, kind of trumps the number 1. Let's face it. You know, Michigan fans can walk down the street, as Mark D'Antonio says, with their heads held high today
all right.
The first time in 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
I just think the whole rushing the floor has lost its flavor.
I agree.
You know,
I agree. It's a little played. It is what it is, but, you know, that's what's going on. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, but when we get back, we're going to talk a lot about Michigan State, this Big Ten championship game coming up with Wisconsin this Saturday. But we invite you to stay tuned with us right now for more sports talk after we take this short break here on AM 870.
3 decades after a jury declared John Hinckley not guilty of shooting President Reagan by reason of insanity, his doctors say he's no longer a threat. Those deemed criminally insane often spend a few years in treatment and then go free. I'm John Donvan. What happens to the criminally insane after they leave the courtroom? Join Neil Conan next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's coming up on Talk of the Nation today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. Today's high 39 degrees and mostly cloudy. Rain arriving tonight with a low of 35. Rain on Tuesday with a chance of snow late in the day. Tomorrow's high 40. And on Wednesday, a chance of light snow and windy with a high in the upper 30s.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV and for Earl today. We invite you to join us on today's show at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or you can reach us toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. All right, coming up this Saturday night at Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indianapolis, Michigan State and Wisconsin, the two winners of the Legends and Leaders division here in the Big Ten, will face off for the Big Ten championship, with the winner going to the Rose Bowl. Of course, Michigan State has not been to the Rose Bowl since January of 1988. Of course, that 87-88 season highlighted by George Perlis and Bobby McAllister, Andre Rison, Lorenzo White, just to name a few of the stars of that team. And Ben, you have to call this game for Michigan State the biggest game since the Indiana game, when Michigan State beat the Hoosiers at Spartan Stadium to punch their ticket to go to the Rose Bowl back in November of 1987. I mean, this is, going to the Rose Bowl has been such a focus for Mark Hollis, athletic director here at Michigan State. For those of you who don't know, if you walk into Mark's office, there are over 20 different remembrances of the Rose Bowl in his office in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a sticker or a poster. But you cannot go anywhere in his office without seeing that. And there was added this year to the practice field at Michigan State. You know, there's a big tarp that goes around the fence so nobody can see in. And this year, the Rose Bowl logo was added to that. I mean, this is what this program has pointed to when Mark D'Antonio got here, and when Mark Hollis hired Mark D'Antonio, was getting to the Rose Bowl. And you have to go through a lot to get an opportunity, but now that opportunity is square in front of them. It's 60 minutes of football. It's win one game, and you get to go to Pasadena and face Oregon. I mean, I would be shocked if UCLA beats Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. Might be one of the greatest upsets in college football history. Yeah. After they got smacked around by 50 by USC over the weekend. So I just, there's going to be a lot of pressure, in my opinion, on Michigan State in this game. I had a chance to listen to Mark D'Antonio on his teleconference yesterday with the Big Ten. And, you know, he said all the right things. He said, you know, we're excited. He thinks that the two best teams in the conference are there. He says his team's going to have some confidence playing against Wisconsin because Michigan State has beaten the Badgers three of the last four times that they played. Now, all those victories came in Spartan Stadium, so I think you have to take that into account a little bit as well. On the other side, it was interesting to listen to Brett Bielema talk about the rocket play and what it was. We all know what it was like from the Michigan State sideline, but listening to what he had to say about what things were like on his sideline, and, you know, it didn't happen to them just once this year. It happened to them twice. I mean, honestly, Wisconsin is, and you, I guess you could say this for a couple teams, but they're two plays away from playing for a national championship this year. And, you know, he said it's something you never forget. And I guess Wisconsin, I'm pretty sure the line opened up at 7 for entertainment purposes only, but it's now up to like 9.5 or 10. And that's not surprising to me at all. I mean, I kind of figured 9, 9.5, 10 would be where this thing kind of settled in. And that's, you know, Wisconsin, a prohibitive favorite when you're talking about a 10-point favorite going into a game on a neutral site. Can Michigan State win the game? Absolutely they can. You're shaking your head at me.
No.
You're saying there's no way that they...
No. No.
Wow.
You know, kind of just taking a step back for a second here. I remember that night we were in the trailer with Bielema, and he said that he didn't even see the play, the rocket play, because he was getting his team ready to go out for victory formation and just take this thing to overtime. So he was talking to his coaches and wasn't even paying attention to the play. So that kind of stuck out to me. It's like, all right, you know, he was planning that this wasn't going to happen. Sure. You know, they're get the ball back with 2 seconds or whatever, just take a knee, go to overtime. But No, and here's the thing with State, why I don't think Michigan State can win. Every time that I've picked them to lose, they've won. So I'm going to pick Wisconsin to win this game.
Okay.
And the reason being that Wisconsin remembers what happens in Spartan Stadium. They remember what happened at Ohio State. And I think, you know, being on a neutral site, a team that you've beaten twice in a row, at Michigan State, you know, it's different than Camp Randall, you know, but they're playing at Indianapolis, and there's a ton of pressure. The first Big Ten championship game, I'm sure there'll be all sorts of suits and ties there. And, you know, and Wisconsin has something to prove. I mean, they went to the Rose Bowl last year when Michigan State should have went. So they've already been there, and they've already done that. They're trying to get back and play a better game. I mean, they played competitively against TCU, but Michigan State, Wisconsin, you take the best players from both teams, and Oregon will still win by 24.
Well, that's part of the problem, you know, looking ahead. Again, I think Michigan State would be a prohibitive. You know, you talk about a 10-point dog in this game. I think Oregon would really be probably a 2-touchdown favorite over Michigan State. But, the goal for Mark D'Antonio and Mark Hollis is to get to the Rose Bowl. I mean, and again, you talk about this in sports a lot, is the goal just to get there is the goal to win it. I mean, but you have to get there before you can win it. So you really have to put the priority on getting there. For Michigan State, I just think it's great that you're going to be a part of the inaugural Big Ten football championship game. I mean, this is, again, going to be a game shown on Fox. It's going to be, you know, a national game. It's going to put your program in the national spotlight, which can only do good things for your program, I guess, unless you get blown out by 35. But, again, I don't expect an Alabama-like performance from Michigan State on Saturday, and I don't expect Wisconsin to come out and bat them around. Now, Bielma did say yesterday that he's not really, and his players aren't thinking about this like revenge. I mean, that's and that was interesting that he said that, because you will get some coaches who kind of give that coach speak, and they may say that, but they don't really mean it.
Right.
That may be coming from him. I would think that the players might have a little bit different perspective on that. And Wisconsin knows Michigan State's kind of had their number here over the past couple of years. Now, again, both those games were in Spartan Stadium, and I think that makes a difference. But I think Michigan State can win this game. I mean, I'm not totally I give them a 20% chance at this point, and they have to play perfect. Again, you know, you get in these one-game situations, a turnover here, a couple turnovers, injuries, you don't really know what's going to happen on any individual game. But Michigan State's going to have to play a near-perfect game. And they didn't do that here in Spartan Stadium. But in a neutral site, against a fired-up Wisconsin team who wants revenge, they're going to have to play a pretty perfect game.
Well, the flavor of the week for the last couple of weeks has been Monty Ball. He's been unbelievable in the last couple of weeks. And that's something that Wisconsin went away from in that game at Spartan Stadium.
Monty Ball got hurt.
Oh, that's right.
He got hurt, remember. So and he got hurt as Michigan State was making their comeback.
That's right.
You know, he was in early as Wisconsin took that 14-point lead, and we're all looking around at each other going,
one more score.
This thing's over, right?
Yeah.
Well, Ball gets hurt, and that kind of changed the momentum of that game a little bit, and Michigan State rattled off 31 straight points, and then you kind of went, well, where did that come from?
Right.
And then give Wisconsin credit that they were able to come back and get those two touchdowns in the fourth quarter to tie up the game before Michigan State hit the winner to Keith Nichol. And that play will be shown. You know, Bielma talked about that too.
Yeah.
He said, you know, you want to try and forget it, but ESPN wouldn't let me because it was on every 5 seconds for the next 3 weeks. And he's got a point, and it will be on a lot this week too. It will be reshown many, many different times, you know, leading up to this football game.
I just think if Ball can stay healthy in this game, and another thing for Michigan State is, I don't know what the stats are, but I'm fairly confident in saying they don't score a whole lot on their first drives of the game. Consistently the last couple weeks, they've started really slow, a couple 3-and-outs. And I don't know if I want to say if you go down 17-0, you can't make a comeback. I guess you can, but there's not going to be the student section. The band might be there. You won't have 70,000 on your side. It's going to be split right down the middle. I'd almost say there'd be more Wisconsin than there'd be Michigan State. But if Wisconsin wins this game, Monty Ball's got to touch it 25 to 30 times. I don't think they can stop. I mean, until he got hurt in that game, they weren't stopping him. He was doing whatever he wanted in that first quarter of the game at Spartan Stadium. So I think this game goes as Monty Ball goes.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's 5 touchdowns away from tying Barry Sanders for the NCAA record.
And you don't think he wants a piece of that?
Well, he does. And he's going to have 2 more games to try and get that. You know, he's looking at getting 2 or 3 in this game and then 2 or 3 in another to tie it or maybe even break the record. And, yeah, absolutely. Are they going to try and get that record for him? Sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State, though, I mean, Mark D'Antonio talked about this yesterday, too, that they didn't do a great job of stopping the run. I mean, especially early on in that first game. I mean, Wisconsin came out and went right down the field.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. And that offensive line took control of the game. And to me, that's where I think you're going to look at this game early on and throughout to say who's in control. And you're going to look at how the MSU defense deals with the Wisconsin offensive line. Now, the other thing for the defense is Michigan State did not have William Golston in that game because, remember, he was suspended, and
right.
They will have him back, obviously, for this game. Darquez Denard also, who did not he did not play against Northwestern. He should be back for Michigan State as well. So that bolsters the Michigan State defense a little bit. But how the Spartans' defense handles that offensive line, for me, especially early on, will tell a lot if they can slow down that running game or not.
Yeah, you know, the thing that Michigan State defense has going for them is definitely their speed and their athleticism. But if the big uglies for Wisconsin get their meat hooks in you, you can't run around them when they're standing you up and pushing you backwards. So I'm excited to see that matchup again. I was excited the first time to see, you know, the Wisconsin linemen were dominating in that first half of the game. So having Golston back will definitely help. You know, Jarrell Worthy had a couple back-to-back false starts on Saturday, I've seen. But, you know, those guys have played phenomenal. And, you know, Jarrell Worthy might use this game to increase his NFL draft stock a little bit.
Well,
and the Rose Bowl game.
If they make it, according to you, they're not going.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
And they're going straight to Tampa.
Hey, I picked Wisconsin. I picked Michigan.
I see where you're going with that.
You know,
I understand where you're going. Again, if Michigan State does not win this game on Saturday, more than likely it looks like they will be going to Tampa to play 1 of 3 SEC teams, probably in Arkansas or a South Carolina, maybe even Georgia. In that that game in Tampa was at the Outback Bowl.
Do you want LSU Alabama again?
Yes, I do, and we're going to get to that at some point.
Okay.
I have an AP vote this year. There are 60 of us who vote in the AP poll every year, and I was lucky enough to get asked this year to vote in that, and I've done so all season long. I have those two as my top two teams, and I have for the past 3 weeks or so. I dropped Alabama a little bit after they lost to LSU, but after, you know, subsequent teams have lost, that they've been bumped back up. And actually, I was quoted in an Associated Press article yesterday that was written by the guy who kind of runs the poll and does that. And he sent out an email, says, look, I'm writing this column. You know, I kind of want to get your thoughts on, you know, whether they should play or not. And I said, I don't understand all the venom for having a rematch. I mean, isn't the whole goal to have the two best teams play against each other? Okay,
yeah.
And yes, clearly LSU is the best team in the country.
Sure.
I mean, they proved that. Again, they couldn't score a touchdown on Alabama, and they only beat them by 3, but they've shown that they are the best team in the country. Alabama has blown everybody else out. I mean, they have clearly shown that they're the second best team in the country. Everybody else along the way, and Houston, you know, kudos to you. I tip your hat to your 12-0 season.
Yeah,
but you don't play anybody, and that's a problem. Now, if there was a playoff, again, you put them in the top 8, let them play against the big boys, and let's see what happens.
Yeah,
just like in the NCAA basketball tournament, you have a chance as a 10 seed to go to the Final Four. Well, let's see what you can do against the North Carolinas and the Dukes of the world. They don't have that opportunity here. But yes. I'm okay with the rematch. I would like to see a touchdown scored in the game. I don't know if that would be too much to ask.
Please.
No more 9-6 games or 6-3 games or 9-3 games, but I would like to see a touchdown scored in that game if at all possible. But yeah, that does not bother me at all because I believe that those are the two best teams, clearly. And then clearly to me, it's clear that those are the two best teams in college football this year, hands down.
You would not even take a look at Stanford or Oregon.
No.
You wouldn't want to see LaMichael James versus the LSU defense.
LaMichael James is hurt.
No. Yeah?
He got hurt last week.
Oh, that's right.
His status is a little bit up in the air.
Okay. But
yeah.
Okay,
again,
Andrew Luck versus the Alabama defense. You don't want to see that.
I like Alabama by 20 in that game.
Wow. I got some oceanfront property in Arizona for you.
Again, would I love to see a playoff and see that as a quarterfinal or a semifinal game? Absolutely. But, Ben, what I'm telling you is those are the two best teams in the country.
They are. They are. But I've already seen that movie.
And it doesn't matter. Watch it again.
And I fell asleep.
Did you like Rocky 2 or 3 or 4?
4 was awesome. 4
okay,
was my
let's
favorite.
Leave 5 and 6 out of it.
Right.
But, you know, what's wrong with seeing – who cares if they played already?
Hey,
they're the two best teams.
They are. I'm the 1% in this argument, by
no,
the
you're
way.
Not. That's the thing. You aren't. You're about the 40% because they're – in fact, it might even be more than that. People who don't want to see it just because it's a rematch, and I don't understand that.
What if LSU, and this isn't going to happen, what if Georgia punches LSU in the face this weekend? Let's say 24 points.
They would have to blow LSU out. But even at this point, I think the computers have LSU at such a point where even if they lose, they're still going to be in the top two. I mean, I, at this point, people can complain all they want to. But, folks, let me tell you, it's going to be Alabama against LSU for the national championship. So, if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But yeah. That's the way it's going to be. Even if LSU loses to Georgia, which, by the way, isn't going to happen.
Right.
But even if it were to happen, that's what you're going
to
get.
I'll watch it because I have to. It's a national championship. No. Okay, so the Rose Bowl is Michigan State in Oregon. Hypothetically.
Not according to you.
I meant Oregon, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then you would have, so that leaves Stanford, right? 4 or 5 right now in the polls.
Yeah, I think they were looking at, Stanford and Oregon. I'm sorry, Stanford and Oklahoma State in the Fiesta Bowl.
I like that.
I think it was Michigan and Houston in the Sugar Bowl.
Now, okay.
Let's talk about Michigan for a second because you have to be in the top 14 in the BCS standings to get an at-large bid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Michigan beat Ohio State and went from 15th to 16th in the BCS standings. Go figure, but that's what happened. They dropped a spot. But you are going to see them move up because of teams like Wisconsin or Michigan State who are ahead of them, and they have to play again this week. They are going to lose and fall out. That's why this whole thing is a little bit, you know, for the second year in a row, Michigan State could really kind of get the short end of the stick here.
Right.
I mean, last year, if the rules this year were what they were last year, they'd be going to Pasadena, no questions asked. Okay, last year, they didn't get a chance to play for it. This year, if the rules would have been the same, they'd be there already.
Sure.
You know, but they want to go win it on the field. So let's take a chance and let's go win it on the field and see if they can get that done. But Michigan will more than likely slide up into the top 14, therefore be eligible. And again, the Michigan name, the Michigan brand, again, I don't think that would be a great game against Houston, but you got to stop Case Keenum, who's, you know, really been one of the better quarterbacks in NCAA football this year. So,
and how about the Big Ten getting 10 teams eligible? How about that?
Is
that
9, I believe.
Everybody but Indiana.
Is everybody? Oh, Purdue, that's right.
Purdue beat Indiana
Purdue
this weekend
beat Indiana
to get eligible.
To get eligible. You're right.
Yeah.
You would know that. Of anybody.
Sorry.
You would know that.
I hate to bring the show to a grinding halt, but yeah.
Let's boil her up. All right. Let's take another quick break here, and we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after we do take this short break right here on WKAR AM 870.
Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
When many 12-year-old girls read Judy Blume, they instantly recognize themselves. That's because Blume still remembers her own preteen years, the angst, the anxiety, and the thrills.
Those are the years that I like to write about.
I'm John Donvan. Judy Blume joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
Today will be mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Tonight, a low of 35 and rainy. Rain on Tuesday, too. A chance of snow late in the day tomorrow with a high of 40. And Wednesday will be windy with a chance of light snow. The high on Wednesday in the upper 30s. I'm Scott Pohl.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson in for Earl Robinson today. Ben McCann is on the other side of the glass. We invite you to join us in some conversation here over the last 20 minutes or so at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. You can also email us today. And that email address is sportstalk@WKAR.com. .org. All right, Ben, tell the good folks out there listening that you made another mistake.
Yeah, I know. Minnesota would be your other team, but there was still 10 teams.
Yes, 9 teams from the Big Ten eligible for bowl games this year. And, you know, the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl is going to have a Big Ten team there, which, you know, I think it is good for those folks that, you know, George Perlis and Ken Hoffman, that they will have a Big Ten team there. Could be Northwestern.
Could be Purdue. That'd be the last time.
Could be Purdue.
I went down for the Central Michigan Purdue game when it was a 51-48 shootout.
Yes.
Kyle Orton and Dan LeFever.
And it was highly entertaining.
It was. It was come down to the last field goal of the game. If I remember right, Purdue had the 17-point lead or something, and LeFever just went nuts in the second half. And there you go. So maybe the Purdue Boilermakers get back and
I will buy you a ticket if they go to the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl.
I got Santa Claus coming up. I can ask him for one.
We'll get you a seat right in the box, you know, right at the 50, and we'll put you right in there, front and center, and we'll get your Purdue gear on, which sure won't take much cajoling, and we'll get you in there.
Yeah.
And we'll get you ready to go.
I'll probably have to work that day.
There's a good chance of that, for sure. Let's touch on Michigan State basketball really quick.
No, I was just going to bring up something completely irrelevant, but the Steven Johnson thing yesterday.
Irrelevant?
No. But the Steve Johnson celebration, I don't know if you got a chance to see that or not.
Yes, and you will see it today. I was going to show it last night, and I thought, you know, I'll just save this for tomorrow.
Okay.
For those of you who didn't see it, Stevie Johnson from the Buffalo Bills caught a touchdown pass yesterday. And during his celebration, pretended like he shot himself in the leg like Plaxico Burress and then limped off, which was, in my opinion, you want to talk about, you know, Ndamukong Suh being suspended, which I think he should be, but Stevie Johnson should not only be fined but suspended for doing something. I mean, just ridiculous. Don't even get me started on that. Now, Plaxico Burress tweeted last night that he and Stevie Johnson talked and they're cool and it was all in fun and whatever. But, you know, karma, as they say, will come back and bite you. And Steve Johnson later in the game dropped 2 touchdown passes, which would have helped his team win the game. And they ended up losing to the Jets.
Do you think the flag came out because of the first part or the second part where he was imitating the Jet?
I think it came out because of the first part.
Okay.
I mean, I think, again, the NFL has pretty strict rules on, and I don't, you know, I don't like the no fun league rules on some of the touchdown celebrations. I mean, you think about, you know, some of the great ones and they just have, you know, curtailed that. Now, and I know that things got a little out of hand with Chad Ochocinco and, you know, popcorns and Sharpies and, again, I think it should be team-oriented if you can do it, but that was ridiculous. All right, let's talk about Spartan basketball a little bit. They went to Eastern Michigan yesterday, won that game 72-40. Michigan State has now won 4 straight games after dropping those first 2 to North Carolina and Duke, and they will be back home at the Breslin Center Wednesday night for the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and they will host Florida State, who is a top 25 team. So another good test for Tom Izzo's crew. A couple of thoughts on the Spartan basketball team. They're still not shooting it well, which is after 6 games, you kind of, you know, it's no longer kind of a fluke. They just have not been shooting the ball very well, so they're going to have to find a way to get that rectified. And I think it's just one of those things where they have a game that, you know, they're gonna have some success once, and then that's gonna kind of maybe start to loosen them up a little bit. There have been a lot of national writers and college basketball prognosticators who have looked at the Michigan State basketball team and said, this lineup is good, but wouldn't it be better if you started Travis Trice at the point guard and moved Keith Appling over to the two guard and made him, you know, more of a shooting guard and in more of his natural position, if you will. And it's hard-pressed to go anywhere. I mean, I talked to a lot of people in San Diego, and they said the same thing. You know, why isn't, you know, he working with that lineup a little bit more? But Tom has been steadfast in saying that Keith Appling is my quarterback, and he is going to be the guy that I want to run the team. Now, you ask, you know, you look at Trice. Trice is a pure point guard, okay? Appling can score the ball a little bit more. But what Tom sees in Keith is his ability to be a jet, okay? He is one of the quickest guards that he's ever had the chance to coach at Michigan State. He can explode, and you saw him do that in the second half yesterday. You saw him really attack the basket, and when he did, it opened up other things for, you know, tip-ins from Draymond Green to easy dunks for Brandon Dawson, to all kinds of things. That's what Trice doesn't bring to the table. He doesn't have that explosiveness to get to the basket, and that's why Tom loves Appling like he does, because he brings that different dimension. Now, it's not natural for Keith to want to push the ball 100% of the time. That's still a work in progress with him. The first half, he didn't do it at all. And then they got on him. In the second half, he was great, especially early on, being able, even on made shots, to get it out of there and get down and get something set. And he said, you know, sometimes I get a little bit too comfortable in just walking it up and getting into one of our sets. And that's why Tom isn't going to change a ton. I mean, you're still going to see that lineup where Appling slides to the two when Trice comes in and Trice runs the point. But that's not going to be the be-all, end-all, because Appling brings something different that Trice doesn't bring. And if you have that guy who's a jet, who can really get to the rim, it can cause defenses a lot of trouble. And if you have trouble shooting the ball like they are right now, one way to remedy that is by getting some easy baskets.
Could Trice learn as the season moves along to get that jet approach to his game? Or is that unteachable, I guess, is what I'm asking?
Well, a lot of that is God-given. I mean, I think Appling is just a little bit more, he's a little quicker, he's a little faster. And Trice, don't get me wrong, you know, we all knew that Dawson coming in, the McDonald's All-American, was going to be a very good player. He, to me, looks like he's a little mechanical right now. He's really, his head is really spinning. You know, instead of just going out and playing and being in the flow, he's thinking too much. And that's natural for some freshmen. He's going to kind of, you know, once we see, we have not seen the best of Brandon Dawson yet. Once he gets comfortable, we're going to really see him flourish, especially out there on the wing, and being able to score the basketball, because he is a prolific scorer. It's not necessarily in Trice's DNA to push the ball like Appling does. He doesn't have that, and that's not something you can necessarily learn. You either have that speed and quickness or you don't, and right now Appling's got more of it.
I mean, we're 6 games into this, and it's, I can remember back after the aircraft carrier game, everyone was like, "All right, well, I like what I see. More hustle, more team unity and all that stuff." And now it's kind of just, yeah, they're not shooting well. I don't know if you'd call that nitpicking, because the basketball program's been at such a high standard and a high level for so long. You kind of try to find things to get irritated about, more or less.
Well, you're going to have to put the ball in the hole to win games. I mean,
right.
They become much better defensively, but they're going to have to shoot it better, especially from the outside. And as Russell Bird starts to get a little bit more healthy, he's going to start to shoot the ball a lot better. I mean, the kid, trust me,
can shoot.
I think he's the purest shooter here since Kirk Manns. And Kirk Manns could fill it up. He could just flat out, he was dead eye from beyond the arc. And I think that once Bird gets fully healthy, you know, that foot, that leg is still bothering him a little bit, and he's been off for almost 2 years, that it's going to take him some time to come back. But once he gets comfortable again, The kid is just a heck of a shooter. He really is. So I'm interested to see this game. You know, the four games after the North Carolina Duke games, you kind of knew that Michigan State was pretty much going to run the table there. You know, they did have to go on the road to Eastern Michigan, who had won four straight coming in, but they didn't play well at all. And I think a lot of that had to do with Michigan State, especially defensively in the first half. You know, the Spartans played excellent defense in that game and primarily in the first half, and really shut Eastern Michigan down and let them kind of get off to the big lead and get going. So I this is going to be a good test for them, you know, coming up against Florida State.
You know, and I think it says something about the conference right now. I was kind of skimming through, like, the ACC and the SEC, and every team in the Big Ten right now has a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
Every team.
How about Northwestern? 5-0.
Yeah. Indiana, 6-0. I mean,
got a big win over Butler last night, although Butler is not the Butler that's been to the last couple Final Fours, right, or probably even close.
And I think some of the just looking at it, Michigan State is 4-2, which is good for last place.
Yeah.
4-2.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's not uncommon.
Right, no, but what I'm saying is the conference is so deep and so strong this year, it's going to be a battle every single night. So if you're trying to figure out this guard situation, you better hurry up because you're probably running out of preseason games.
Well, I don't think there's anything to necessarily figure out. It's just, you know, what lineup gives you the best chance to win, and you're going to see both of them, but you're not going to see Trice and Appling together as much as I think a lot of fans or national analysts have looked at the team and said, look, Appling is not a true point guard. He would be better off playing more two than more one. And again, Tom disagrees with that, and I think he's a little bit, you know.
He probably goes to a couple practices and stuff.
Well, he's part of that is I'm going to show you, and I'm going to show you why I think, you know, how I think, and I think that's going to be part of it. It's going to be part of, you know, why Tom does what he does. Quickly, the Michigan State hockey team. Kudos to Tom Anastas and his coaching staff and the players for again another great weekend. They had a win and a tie against second-ranked Minnesota over the weekend at Munn Ice Arena, and Michigan State is now 8-5-1 on the season. They are unbeaten in their last four games against top five opponents. And if the season ended today, Michigan State would be in the NCAA hockey tournament, looking at the pairwise rankings. Now, there's a lot of hockey left to play. We're not even to December yet. So we've got over half the season to play, but again, I think you have to give this team credit. They may not be the most talented team in the country, but you look at how hard they play, the style at which they play, and that hockey this weekend at Munn was one of the more entertaining brands of hockey that you've seen in some time. Up and down the ice, back and forth, a lot of action both ways. Drew Palmisano played very well in goal for Michigan State. So, again, kudos to them for being off to such a good start. They'll be ranked again in the top 20 here when the polls are released later today. So they've got a good thing going over there at Munn Ice Arena.
With a 1-8-1 Bowling Green coming to town this weekend.
And Michigan has been, I think they've lost like five or six straight. Or they've gone winless in their last six. I think five losses and a tie, something like that. And you're kind of shaking your head, going, "Well, you know, what's going on down in Ann Arbor? That's unheard of."
Well, Notre Dame took the lead in the CCHA over the weekend, Friday night into Saturday, and then Saturday night Lake Superior blew out Notre Dame 5-2. So there's all sorts of teams mixing it up there at the top of the CCHA. But yeah, definitely, I think a win and a tie is better than two losses. You know, so you would call this a successful weekend for the Michigan State hockey team.
You don't get analysis like that anywhere else. How'd St. Cloud State do this weekend, by the way?
I'm not sure.
Okay. A couple of quick, it's an inside joke, folks. A couple of quick Tigers notes. The winter meetings will be taking place next week in Dallas. And I'm going to give you a couple names of a couple free agents that are on the top of the Tigers' Christmas wish list. The first one is Mark Burley. And Burley would take the place of
Brad Penny.
Brad Penny, thank you very much. Yep. In the Tigers' rotation when Detroit brought Penny in for, you know, what was basically 1 year, because Detroit's pitching staff is so right-handed heavy, and most of those guys are in their 20s, so you're looking for a veteran lefty who might be able to help you, and Burley might be the guy. Now, he's pitched 34 times against Detroit. He's got a record of 18-10 in those games with an ERA of 3.36. He's 32 years old, and he looks like he might be the hottest available pitcher coming up here during the Hot Stove League. Another name out there to look out for would be Ramirez, the 33-year-old third baseman from he played for the Cubs last year, turned down a $16 million option to stay with Chicago. He hit 306 last year, 93 RBIs and 26 home runs. He has been with the Cubs for 9 years. He was with the Pirates before that. He's been a two-time All-Star. Of course, the Tigers brought back Brandon Inge last year to play third base after they sent him to AAA Toledo. He is on the hook for $5.5 million for one more year.
Wow, that's a lot of cheese for a guy that was...
Well, they were stuck, and they feel like they're a little stuck at third base, but Ramirez could be the answer for the Tigers there. All right, there's a couple of baseball notes here as the weather starts to get a little cooler.
Yeah, you know, I was going to save this for Earl tomorrow, but my boy Tim Tebow just keeps on winning. Just win, baby, win. That's the name. One game at a time, one win at a time. A lot of people were burying this guy after the Lions game, but they're 4-1 since he's been at the helm.
Since when is he your guy?
Well, because everyone in the world was knocking on the kid, saying he wasn't a quarterback, he can't make throws, this, that, and the other, and I simply said that he just wins. He just won at Florida. He's winning at Denver. What do you get paid to do in the NFL? Win. And that's exactly what he's doing.
Well, you're right. He's done that, and he's still not a good NFL quarterback, but he is finding a way to win. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, kudos to him. He won a game that probably shouldn't have been and shouldn't have won yesterday, but did.
You can give more credit to the Broncos defense if you want, but I just found it kind of unbelievable how so many people, columnists, media guys were just trashing Tebow. You know, he's not going to show up and be Joe Montana or anything or John Elway, but he's just winning. You know what I'm saying? That's the name of the game, and that's what I'm trying to tell Earl. You know, he's telling me about how his mechanics are not very good and he can't complete passes, but...
All true.
That's fine. End of the day, a W is a W. I'll take him on my squad right now. I don't have the money to pay him, actually.
No. How about quickly, Lions make the playoffs, yes or no?
No. No, I don't think they will. They got a very tough stretch. I mean, the Saints Sunday night coming up. You got the Packers again.
By the way, that game is on Channel 10.
Absolutely.
Shameless plug.
Chargers coming up, but Chargers are scatterbrained right now.
Chargers are reeling. You know, that game's at home, too.
Raiders, I believe they go to the West Coast to play the Raiders. They got the Vikings one more time. So I
have to go to Green Bay to end the season.
Yeah, I don't see it. And it has nothing to do, and it's a shame we're out of time. And it'll be not Ndamukong Suh's fault that he won't be in the game, that they'll lose, but it'll be a major factor.
Well, yes, and he'll be suspended tomorrow. We don't know how long, but I'm guessing two games. That's what ESPN is reporting, that he will be gone. All right, Earl will be back in the hot seat tomorrow. Is that correct? Ben is nodding yes. All right, Ben, we appreciate your hard work on the other side of the glass. No phone calls today, but we hope you had a good time listening today to a little sports talk. And again, Earl will be back in the hot seat tomorrow. You can watch all kinds of coverage on WILX Channel 10 from Indianapolis starting on Friday. I will be there to update you on everything that's going on with Michigan State. From Michigan State University, this is AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have a great day, everybody.